Good morning. The topic of this morning's shiur is the mitzvah of mezuzah, which is always a timely mitzvah. The Torah tells us, if you look in the first makor, "Uchsavta mal mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha," and that pasuk appears in Parshas Vaeschanan, where the first parsha of Kriya Shema is brought in the Torah. And then, once again, in Parshas Ekev, in the next week's parsha after that, once again, in the second parsha of Kriya Shema, we once again have the mention of the mitzvah of mezuzah, Uchsavta mal mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. And right after that, the Torah writes, "Leman yirbu yimechem v'yimei v'nechem al ha'adama, shenishma Hashem lavosechem laseis lehem yimei ha'shomayim al ha'aretz." That's the promise of a long life. And the Gemara on the number three over here points out that this is the source, that the obligation of mezuzah is even on women. Because one might have thought that since right before it discusses the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which there is a difference between men and women in terms of the scope of the mitzvah of learning Torah, so one might have thought that since the Torah says v'shivtcha v'esechem v'lechtcha v'derech v'limadetem osam es b'neichem, and one might distinguish between the type of Torah that's taught to the sons in contrast to those of the daughters, and therefore right afterwards when it mentions mezuzah, one might think there's a distinction as well. So the Torah says, "Lamad yibu yimechem, gavri b'ichai, noshi lo b'ichai." Only men need to live life, long lives, and not women. Meaning, since the Torah says right after that you live a long life, right after the mitzvah of mezuzah, so that is implying that the mitzvah mezuzah goes on anyone who needs to live a long life. And that applies to men and women equally. So the obligation of mezuzah applies both to men and to women. Now, for us to understand the mitzvah of mezuzah, one just needs to understand what the psukim, the pasuk in Chumash, of Chsavtam al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. Three phrases. Mezuzos, beisecha, uvisharecha. What those three words mean. Chsavtam, that will leave up to the sofer. I don't think any of us are planning to be sofrim. So we could leave that up to the sofer to know how to write the mezuzah. But beisecha, what does it mean beisecha? What does it mean mezuzos? And what does it mean, bisharecha? So that's relevant for everybody. So the next piece on number four, where it's a citation from the Shulchan Aruch, of Bayi She'em Ba Dalar Al Dalar Amos, Potter. Okay. The definition of a bayis, when it comes to the laws of mezuzah, is a certain area, a certain room that has an area of dalar amos, 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, roughly. That's the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein's equivalent of dalar amos al dalar amos, and a room that has that measure of 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches is obligated in mezuzah. Now, even though in colloquial Hebrew we would call a room a cheder, right? But in terms of the halacha, every room is considered its own bayis. In other words, every room in the house is considered its own bayis and therefore requires its own mezuzah. In other words, there was an opinion, I shouldn't really say an opinion, there was a prevalent minhag that existed many, many years ago, that the poskim criticized, and that was just to put a mezuzah on the front door, because you have your bias, your house, and this is the door of my bias, and therefore they would put only a mezuzah up on the front door. And the poskim are critical of this, criticized this minhag, because really every single room in the house, if it has those dimensions of Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, are chayiv in a mezuzah on its own right. And every room should have its own mezuzah, because again, every room is considered a bayis b'fnei atzma. And that's the definition of a bayis, even though in colloquial Hebrew we wouldn't necessarily call every room a bayis. We call this a cheder. But in halacha, that's the way it's considered. Sometimes you have a room that's long but narrow. It's not 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. It is, it's 8 by 2 or something like that. So, it has, you know, different, 8 amos by 2 amos, the actual length and actual width are not necessarily, sometimes it's very long, but very narrow. And this is a debate amongst the poskim, whether such a room also requires a mezuzah or not. And many poskim say it doesn't, unless it is a room that is made for traversing, going through, a hallway. Because the point of Dalet Amos and Dalet Amos is that this is considered a functional area. And therefore, if it's a functional area, so that's why the Torah required to have a mezuzah in such a place. So a hallway, which you don't really spend time there, you just go through it. So therefore, even though it's not necessarily going to be so wide, it's not going to be 7 feet in width, but since it's very long, that will make up for the lack in the width. So therefore, the minhag has become to follow that opinion, that by hallways, since their usage is to lead up to something else, so therefore they function properly even if they're not so wide, and so they also could be obligated in mezuzah. But it's not necessarily according to all opinions, and therefore, if it's not really 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, in both in length and in width, even if one were to put up a mezuzah, one would put up a mezuzah without a bracha. Because to make a bracha, you only put it on a room that really has that minimum length and minimum width. If it doesn't, then you don't make a bracha. We'll be learning in the shiur other scenarios where it's recommended to put up a mezuzah, even though one would not make a bracha when one puts up a mezuzah. So this is one example in the hallway. Or, for that matter, it's very interesting that the front door of many people's houses, which we said before, should be the obvious obligation. The front door, you know, that would be the obvious obligation. I mean, people wouldn't know to come to your house to collect money if you didn't have a mezuzah. So that would be the obvious obligation. Even though that's the obvious obligation, that's not so simple. Why? Because many times the front door goes into a little foyer that's not 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. And only that door leads into a larger room, which is 7 feet and 3 inches and 7 feet and 3 inches. So the minhag of the olam is to put up a mezuzah on the front door. So they're basing it on this idea as well, that the passageway maybe also is functional, even if it doesn't have the proper dimensions, and therefore one would put up a mezuzah. The minhag is to put up a mezuzah even if you don't have seven feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. But again, without a bracha, because it's not the strict obligation of 7 feet and 3 inches or 7 feet and 3 inches. So the irony is that it could be that the front door maybe not be obligated in mezuzah, but yet the minhag is to do so because of the same idea that we said by the hallway, that if it's just a place where you don't really spend time there, you just use it as a passageway, so then it's considered functional even if it doesn't have the requisite shear of 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. Okay, we're going to get to that. That's an excellent question. Now, the next thing in number 5 is Beis Knesset or Beis Medrash. Now, one important idea of a mezuzah is that the obligation of a mezuzah, the Gemara says, is chovas hadar. A mezuzah is only to be put up, only a strict obligation, when a person lives in that area. So in other words, you might have a room that's 7 feet and 3 inches or 7 feet and 3 inches, but no one lives there. It's a shul. Say a shul. I mean, today, usually we don't have people living in the shul. The Zman Chazal, people used to live in the shul. The shamus of the shul used to live in the shul, and the guests used to live in the shul. People would actually, you know, a Shabbos guest in the time of the Talmud meant that, didn't mean that you brought him to shul to daven and you brought him home for the meal. It meant that he came to the shul and he ate in the shul and he slept in the shul. And that was what a Shabbos guest was in the time of the Talmud. So there was actually people who lived in the shul. But, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, B'nais Knesses, Im Yesh Bo Dira L'Shem Adam Chayev V'Mezuzah. That a shul, if somebody lives there in the shul, then it's obligated in mezuzah. But technically speaking, a shul is not obligated in mezuzah. And the same thing, but in Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch says, what about a Beis Medrash? So there are two opinions, whether a Beis Medrash is chayiv in mezuzah or potter. What's the difference between a Beis Medrash and a Beis Knesses? So a Beis Knesses means that it's a room that people come to daven. A Beis Medrash means a room where people are learning most of the day. They're there throughout the whole day. I mean, it doesn't mean a Beis Medrash that some shuls, they call the room that they daven in Shabbos the Beis Knesses, and the room they daven during the week the Beis Medrash. That has no halachic bearing. That doesn't give it the status of a Beis Medrash. A Beis Medrash means that, like in a yeshiva, where people are basically there from 6 in the morning to 2 at night, throughout the whole day there are people learning there. So there, some poskim are of the opinion that since it's used so frequently and so many hours throughout the day, that looks like ki'ilu someone's living there, even though no one really is living there. So there's an opinion that says Yesh Omim Shabbos Medrash Chayiv Mezuzah. At the end of the line, there's an opinion that says a Beis Medrash is Chayiv Mezuzah, because again, the Beis Medrash is similar to a living abode, in contrast to a Beis Knesset. So technically speaking, if you have a shul, there's no obligation of putting mezuzahs up on the shul. Now, the minhag has become that people put mezuzahs up on a shul. How would it look at a shul without mezuzahs? People would think, I don't know what they would think. But but technically speaking, it's not a real obligation. Because again, no one lives in the shul unless you have a shul where sometimes the shul, they build living quarters for the rabbi or for the shamus or for the this or that. So then in that area, that would be an obligation to have a mezuzah. In fact, when they built the building across the street, the new Glucks Center across the street. So at the groundbreaking, at the ceremony, not the groundbreaking, the ceremony when they were dedicating the building, so they were going to have someone put up the mezuzah on the front door. But they didn't know what bracha should the person make, because no one lives in that building. So really, technically speaking, you can't make a bracha on the mezuzah. And they wanted to have a ceremony with someone, how can you have a ceremony without anyone saying something? Right? Because in this world, people like to hear something. You can't just, they don't want to just hear the nail being... So there was a discussion. So the final conclusion that was made, they can't make a bracha l'kbo mezuzah because no one lives there. It's not a makam dira. So they made a bracha hatova meitiv. That tova meitiv, when you buy something and many people are going to get benefit from it, so then the halacha discusses the idea of making a bracha of Hatova Meitiv. If you buy something that and you're very happy about it, a new suit, and you're very happy about it, and only you're getting a benefit, then you make a bracha of Shechianu. But if you buy something that many people, more than one person is getting benefit from, then you make a bracha of Hatova Meitiv. So that's what the bracha, I believe, they made. The bracha of Hatova Meitiv. But technically speaking, a base Knesset is not chayiv in mezuzah, and even a base Medrash is two opinions. In fact, the Rosh says that the Maram Rutenberg, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, used to learn in the base Medrash and throughout the day, and sometimes he would doze off in the afternoon, and there would be some evil spirit that would disturb his sleep. So then he put a mezuzah on, and the evil spirit went away, and then he was able to have some nap time in the afternoon in the Beis Medrash. But again, technically speaking, both a Beis Knesset for sure is not obligated in a mezuzah, and a Beis Medrash. Sometimes you have to know if the community doesn't have funds, so putting a mezuzah on the Beis Knesset is not necessarily the priority, because there's really no obligation. And the Beis Medrash, there might be an obligation as well. The next, number six, is Ptur Chonos mi mezuzah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Sukkos hachag b'chag, v'habai shebesfina v'chanuyo shebeshvokim pturim. The Shulchan Aruch says that unless you have, as we said before, that someone dwells in the area, then there's not obligated. But dwelling means that you have to dwell there on a permanent basis. So that's why we say that a sukkah is not obligated in mezuzah, because it's only up for 7 days. And since it's only up for 7 days, it's not considered a permanent dwelling. Or you have something on a boat, some type of compartment on a boat that people use sometimes to sleep in. But again, it's not a permanent dwelling. And a chanuya shebishvakim is a storefront. A storefront is not obligated in mezuzah. So the question is, why is a storefront not obligated in mezuzah? So there are two possible reasons. One, the simple reason is because no one lives there. Who lives in the storefront? And the other reason is that the storefront that they're talking about is like a makeshift. They have a city fair, and people put up their booths for a couple of weeks to sell their merchandise, and then they take them down. So it's very similar to a sukkah, where you put it up for a week, and then you take it down. So maybe only that type of chanus is not obligated in mezuzah, but something of permanent nature would. So the basic halacha is that when you have a storefront, or this applies to all offices and all types of things that technically do not require a mezuzah, even in a frum place, they do not require a mezuzah, but people are choshesh for the opinion that says that since it's impermanent in nature, it's not a makeshift thing. You don't take down your office, it's a permanent building, so therefore they would put up a mezuzah. But again, you can't make a bracha on such a thing, because again, some the storefront or the office is not obligated in mezuzah. Some people, some lawyers, they're in their office more than they're in their own homes. So maybe things should change in those cases. But the general idea is that a chanus, it's not a place of residence. It's not a place of residence. If, strictly speaking, there's no obligation of mezuzah, but if person, since it's a permanent nature, they choshish to put it up, but again, without a bracha. The next halacha, number 7, is about storage areas. Beis HaTeven, Beis HaEitzah, and Beis HaBokar Chayovim. In other words, if you have an area that is a storage area, so you, technically speaking, you're not living there, but you're using it as for storage. That so a storage area, we say, requires a mezuzah. Some want to say, based on this, that a garage as well requires a mezuzah because it's used for storage, and therefore would be obligated in mezuzah. Some point out, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Yitzchak Abadi as well point out, that's only if the storage area is near the place where you're living. It's not like you're renting storage space in Manhattan someplace where there's no connection to your residence. So if it's just a storage area where there's no connection to your residence, so these poskim point out, Rav Kamenetsky and Rav Abadi point out, they wouldn't be obligated in the mezuzah. We're talking about a storage place which is right connected to your residence. So even though you're not really living in that place, but it's you're bringing things from the storage area into your residence to use. You use it as a, say, a room in your house that you use for the bottles of wine or for the... and this is the discussion of closets as well. A closet, so again, a closet would be obligated in mezuzah if the closet is 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. Most people's closets are not 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. So that would, so if you have a closet that's 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, then you would put a mezuzah on such a closet. If it's not, so there are opinions to say to put it without a bracha, because it's, since, like we said before, by the hallways, that since they're functional, even without being that that length and width of 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, they're still functional, so you would put a mezuzah without a bracha. So some are of the opinion the same thing by storage places, that if you have a storage place, even though it's not technically a closet, that's not technically 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, but it's functional. So then you would put a mezuzah, but again, that's only speaking about a closet which is a walk-in closet. If it's a closet that you just put your hands in and you take things out of the closet, so no one would obligate that in a mezuzah, even as a chumrah. The only time we would obligate, we would say that if you want to be machmir to put up a mezuzah in a storage place, that's only if the storage place, even if it's not 7 feet and 3 inches and 7 feet and 3 inches, so you certainly can't make a bracha, but since you walk into it, it's a walk-in, it's a walk-in closet, so it's a little bit bigger, but you actually walk into the room. You don't just put your hands in, you actually walk in, so that would have an opinion to say that you should put a mezuzah. So technically it's not obligated, but if one would want to do so, one could put it up without a bracha. But if it's something that you don't walk into, you just put your hands in, then there's no inyan, even a chumrah, to put up such a, to put a mezuzah in such a closet. Okay, number 8 is Ptur Beis HaKisei B'mezuzah. So, of course, needless to say that a bathroom, since it's used for things that are not of the congruous with the Kedusha of a mezuzah, so therefore everyone agrees that it would not be obligated in mezuzah. But some of the are of the opinion that if you have, say, two rooms, you have a room where you have sinks, You have sinks in that room. And then another room that is where the actual bathroom is. So the room with the sinks that you use, if it's 7 feet and 3 inches and 7 feet and 3 inches, so that could be obligated in mezuzah, because that's not part of the, it's a separate room from the actual bathroom area, which is incongruous with the holiness of a mezuzah. That's how Rav Abadi paskins, and that one could follow. Okay, number 9. Be'in chiv mezuzah b'bayis schura. So there is a halacha that when you buy a house or buy an apartment, so you're obligated to put a mezuzah right away. In other words, the second that you move into the apartment, if you bought it, so you don't have to put a mezuzah right away before you move in. But you bought the apartment or you bought the house, and now you're moving in, you're sleeping that over that night, you're moving in, so immediately one has to have a mezuzah to put up. And it's improper to move in to a house that one bought or an apartment which one owns without putting a mezuzah up immediately. Again, immediately doesn't mean when you have bought it or signed a lease. Immediately means when you moved in. When you actually move in. And moving in doesn't mean moving in your belongings. Moving in means when you yourself have moved in. So then you have to put a mezuzah in immediately when you move in. However, if you're just renting, you're not owning the apartment or you're not owning the house, so then the halacha is that in Chutz La'aretz, there's a dispensation that you have 30 days. You don't have to put it up until day 31 to put up a mezuzah on a rented apartment or a rented house or anything that is rented, because technically speaking, it's not Beisecha, right? Beisecha, it's not your house. So, but Chazal said that who's going to know that? It's sort of like a Marisayan halacha, that people are going to think, hey, this fella is living here, he doesn't have a mezuzah. So people are not going to realize that he really doesn't own it, so technically he's not chayiv. So the Chazal instituted a rabbinic obligation to put a mezuzah up, even if you're only renting. Even if you're only renting. But in Chutz La'aretz, they gave a dispensation and said, well, Marisayan is only going to kick in if you're there a nice amount of time. If you're only there one day, it's not going to be Marisayan. They'll think you're just a visitor for a day. But if you're there already a month, now it's day 31, and there's still no mezuzah, they're going to think, what's with this fella? What's with this woman? What's with the, you know? So therefore, they became an obligation to put a mezuzah up on day 31. Some are of the opinion that if you sign the lease and you know for sure that you're going to be there even longer, then, in other words, when you engaged in renting the apartment, you already signed the lease and you're going to be there for an extended time. There is an opinion that even says that you can put it even right away when you move in. Again, moving in meaning physically moving in, not your belongings. So, but there is what to rely. So, if you want, you could really put it up right away when you move in, even a rented apartment. But if you don't have the mezuzahs, you can rely on the opinion that you have until day 31. And on day 31, you have to put up the mezuzahs on the rented house. This only applies in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, where more machmir, for different reasons, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we give it a greater status, and therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, you can't procrastinate. Renting, even renting, you're obligated right away to put up a mezuzah as soon as you move in. Again, moving in doesn't mean your belongings, it means you moving in. And that would be the difference. Yes? We'll talk about that. We'll get to that. Yeah, so if you go, that's the same idea. If you go to a bungalow colony and you're renting the thing for the summer, so then you should put up a mezuzah. So you have a choice that you could either put it up on day 31. You can wait till day 31, or since you, if you have a lease that they can't throw you out, so even right away you could put up the mezuzah. In every room of the bungalow, same like a house, just like we said by a house, that every room requires its own mezuzah, because every room is considered a bais, so too by a bungalow, if the rooms are, depends what type of bungalow you have. Yeah, in other words, then you would say, you say a bracha on rented, rented as well, because rented is a, is an obligation. It's a rabbinic obligation, but it's an absolute obligation, just like Neiros Chanukah is a rabbinic obligation, and yet we say a bracha. So to on a rented apartment or even a rented house, it's an obligation, a rabbinic obligation, yet an obligation nonetheless. It's not just a choice; it's an obligation, and therefore you do say a bracha. Oh, okay. We're getting it. We're gonna hopefully get all this. Okay. So you're all asking excellent questions. Okay. Number 10. Chiyuv mezuzah b'shar ha'ir. So the halacha is, the Torah says, "Uchsavtam al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha." So we talked about what beisecha means. Beisecha means something that's dalaramos with dalaramos, 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches, a room that someone lives there, that's called beisecha. That's a bias, and that's obligated in mezuzah and in midrabanan. If you rent it, it's also obligated, etc. Now, what does bisharecha mean? So the Gemara has an interesting idea of what bisharecha means. Bisharecha means if you have a city that's a walled city, and it has a gate to the city. It has a shar ha'ir, the gate to the city. So it's not an entrance to my house, but it's an entrance to the city, which ultimately will lead up to people's homes. So the halacha is that that on the shar ha'ir, on the doorway entering to the city, there is an obligation of mezuzah as well. And that's based on the pasuch visharecha.
If the city doesn't
belong to you. Yeah, so Rashi says in Masechet Yuma that should only apply, and this is a question, where at least the majority of the residents have to be Jewish. If the majority of the residents have to be Jewish, so then some are of the opinion even more than that, but at least the majority of the residents have to be Jewish, and if they're not, the majority of the residents are not Jewish, so then there's no obligation. So this becomes a discussion about the old city of Yerushalayim. So the old city of Yerushalayim is not the majority of Bavanoseinu Harabim, of Jews. So technically speaking, even though in some of the gates there are mezuzahs on the gates of Yerushalayim, but that's it wasn't done as an obligation, because the majority is not Jewish. The one place that the poskim discuss of having a mezuzah is where, on such a scenario, is in Brooklyn in Seagate. So that's an area that would be a majority of Jews, and would have an enclosure, and therefore perhaps would be obligated in the mezuzah. The only question is that there's another exemption, that if you think that you're going to put up a mezuzah in an area where the non-Jews will take it down and mutilate it, so that's a reason to not put up a mezuzah. Then you get a dispensation that you don't have to put up a mezuzah. So someone suggested, the last time I looked in Seagate, I didn't see a mezuzah there, so Maybe they felt that way. Someone suggested that they put up a mezuzah case and see if that lasts. And if that lasts, then they can put in the parchment. And if that doesn't last, then they won't try. Yes, yeah, so if the gate, we'll talk, if the gate has a, leading up, has a frame, that could perhaps also require the mezuzah. Okay, we have more to do, we have 15 minutes left, so we're going to try to do as much as we can. The next. Chiv mezuzah b'cheder shein bed blossos. So the question now is the obligation of mezuzah only in an area, in a doorway that has a door? So we know from our own homes, we put mezuzahs up even if there's no door, right? We all do that in archways. So the Rambam's opinion is that if there's no door, there's no mezuzah. So there was a doorway without a door, according to Maimonides, according to the Rambam, doesn't obligate in mezuzah. You need a doorway and a door. If you don't have a doorway and a door, then you're not obligated in mezuzah. And they asked the Rambam, where did you know that from? And the Rambam responded from that same pasuk, Beisecha uvisharecha, because a shar not only means a gate, and a gate implies also a door. In other words, the door is the gate of every single room that has the obligation of mezuzah. So that is the opinion of the Rambam. However, most Rishonim disagree and say that no, that even a doorway without a door is obligated in mezuzah. So our minhag is that we put a mezuzah up, even a doorway, even if there is no door. However, we won't make a bracha. Even if it's a very big room, 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches and more, but if there's no door, then you can't make a bracha. Since the Rambam says there's no obligation, so even though we don't follow that opinion of the Rambam, but we don't... We at least, in deference to the Rambam, we wouldn't make a bracha. And that is the opinion of the Rambam. Okay, next on page 3, Ein HaPesach number 12, Ein HaPesach Chayiv B'Mezuzah L'Kein Yeshua Shtei Mezuzah Zumashkof. In other words, in order for there to be an obligation of mezuzah, you need that there should be two vertical poles and a horizontal. So if you look in any one of these doors, so you see that there's a molding and it has a vertical, you know, two vertical pieces and a horizontal piece. So it looks like a frame of a door. And without that, you wouldn't be obligated. So theoretically, sometimes you have in a house, you have the horizontal posts go all the way to the ceiling. The vertical posts, rather, go all the way to the ceiling. And there's no drop. So then there's no horizontal lintel there. So then it wouldn't be obligated in mezuzah. Because you need to have the two, the verticals and the one horizontal. Now, our minhag is, even if there's not a molding there, but there's a frame, in other words, like by the archways, so you don't have a separate piece there as a mold, you know, a vertical molding and a horizontal piece there, you don't have that. But our minhag is that we put mezuzahs up because the fact that it has that shape of vertical, and even if though it's made by the wall itself comes to an end, and in the middle of the wall there's a doorway, so that, and as long as there's a drop in from the ceiling, so it looks like a doorway, even though it technically doesn't have that horizontal and vertical pieces, separate pieces of molding, it still would be obligated in mezuzah. Number 13, Mokum Kviyas HaMezuzah. Where do you put a mezuzah? So the Shulchan Aruch says that the mezuzah is to put inside, in the halal of the Pesach. In other words, you put the mezuzah in the doorway. In other words, You shouldn't really put it on the outside, but in the doorway is where you put the mezuzah. And the Shulchan Aruch says that it has to be in the bottom of the top third. The bottom of the top third of the doorway. So if you put it lower than the bottom of the top third of the doorway, then you're not fulfilling the obligation. And then you basically bought a mezuzah and you wasted your money because you didn't put it up properly. In other words, if you put it too low, it's not... And even if you have a room for little kids, the kids' room, and you want them to be able to kiss it and touch it, you put it low down, that's also a waste of money. Because then you're doing improper chinuch, and then and you've lost the mitzvah. So even in a child's room that has the requisite shear of 7 feet and 3 inches, 7 feet and 3 inches, the mezuzah should be on the bottom of the top third. If you put it a little bit higher, that's still okay, as long as it's not within a fist of the top. But if you didn't measure it exactly, and it's a little higher than the bottom of the top third, you still fulfill the obligation. But if it's too high, if it's within a fist of the top, the tefach of the top, so then you've not fulfilled the obligation as well. The poskim write if it's a very tall door. Right. So if you're going to put it in the top, bottom of the top third, you're not going to see it. It's going to be above. So then, in a very tall door, then the halacha is you just put the mezuzah by shoulder height. By shoulder height is where you put the mezuzah, and that's the proper thing to do. But that's if it's a very tall, where it's, you know, the if you're going to go with the bottom of the top third, it's going to be very high. It's going to be question how high it has to be, but it'll be pretty high. So then the regular rule doesn't apply, and then we say you put it on the by shoulder height. But in a regular door, where if you put it in the bottom of the top third, it's more or less by your shoulder height, and you want to put it lower to accommodate, as I said, to accommodate a little child or something like that, that's improper. You want the child to be able to kiss the mezuzah. You pick the child up, they'll kiss the mezuzah. But you can't put the mezuzah, you can't lower the mezuzah, because then you don't fulfill the mitzvah. And our minhag is we slant it a little bit because there's two opinions. One opinion says that the mezuzah is supposed to be totally upright. One opinion says it's supposed to be totally horizontal. So it's not the idea that that this is a compromise. That's some people like to. It's a nice drusha that people give that it's, the house, there should be compromised, which is a true thing. But that's not what's going on by the mezuzah. It's that the opinion that says like this holds, this is also good. And the opinion says like this holds, like this is also good, so it fulfills both opinions. It's not that it's, we don't know what to do this way or this way, so we go in the middle. That's not what's going on. So you can say a drusha, that's for the drusha. But, so the minhag is to tilt it a little bit inward, and we put it on the thickness of the doorway. You put it towards the outer part, so this way the room will have more protection. Number 15, the Torah tells us another interesting thing. The Shulchan Aruch said, "Tanya beischa bi'ascha min hayamin." So what side do you put the mezuzah on? So the Torah says Beisecha. So the Gemara explains Beisecha means Derech Biascha. The Gemara interprets it in not the literal sense of Beisecha meaning the house, but Beisecha Loshon Biascha, the entrance. So the idea, says the Gemara, is, now this is a little biased to people like me, I'll tell you why in a second. The Gemara says that that when one walks, he walks with his right foot first. So therefore, when you enter a room, you enter with your right foot first. So therefore, the mezuzah is always on the right side. That's why you put it on the right side. So people, and even if you're a lefty, like myself and others, who are lefties, that maybe we'll walk with our left foot first, we have to be conformists here. In Hilchas Mezuzah, the righties went out, and it's not like tefillin, where different people put on different hands. Here, by mezuzah, everyone does the same thing. It's on the right side, going into the room, is the obligation of mezuzah, where even if you're a lefty. You all put it on the right side. So this is the question. How do you, so if you have a room where you can only get in from one side, right? In other words, the room is, like say you have a class, you know, where there's only one door, and that door leads into the room. There's only one way to get into the room, and there's no other way. So of course you put it on the right side going in. But a lot of times you have multiple rooms, one after the other, a dining room and a living room, and it becomes complicated, because which is going in, which is going out. You know, you have a whole maze. So there are a lot of rules, but one of the basic rules is that you follow the flow of traffic. In other words, which way, direction do you normally go? Do you normally go, say you have a living room, a dining room, or this? So do you normally go this way, from this room to that? Or do you, when you're coming in from outside, do you go this way, or do you normally go that way? In other words, we don't count the backtracking. We count, in other words, the first time you go in. Do you go in from the front room to the kitchen, to the living room, to the dining room, or do you go first to the dining room, to the living room, to the kitchen? What is the flow of traffic? And that is one of the main determinations of which way it goes. But if you have any doubts, you should ask a shaila, because you don't want to do the wrong way. Because if you put it on the wrong, there could be regarding this halacha different opinions. I can't go into all the intricacies in the limited time we have, but that's one of the general rules that we have. But you want to make sure that when you buy nice mezuzahs, and everyone should buy nice mezuzahs, because as we'll see, mezuzah is not only a mitzvah, but we believe that mezuzah is also a shmirah, more so than other mitzvahs that we have. That we believe that a mezuzah is a shmirah. It watches over us, and of course we all want to be watched over, and therefore we want to put up the mezuzahs correctly. So it's one thing to buy a nice mezuzah, but then you have to make sure that you put it up correctly. So if you have any shilas, you should ask your local rabbi. You know, some rabbis make house calls and go to your house to see that you have it up. There's a fellow, I think, in Queens. He calls himself the mezuzah doctor. And he goes to people's houses and makes sure that they have it up correctly. So it's not only a question of how high, how low, but which is the right way. In other words, it has to be on the right side coming in. But you know, in life, everything's perspective. This is the right way going from here. Say we're in this room now. So if you look at the mezuzahs there, they're coming in, because that's the way the entrance is coming in from outside into this room. So it's on the right going in. Now, if this would be a Lubavitcher institution, so they wouldn't do that. They would, because their opinion is that you follow which way the door pushes out. So here, I believe, the door pushes out there. So they would put it on the right side going into the hallway, not coming into the room. But that's not the main, unless you're a person who follows the Minhagei Chabad, then you wouldn't follow such a thing. Right, so there is a minhag to, actually the Shulchan Aruch quotes the minhag of putting your hand on the mezuzah, which then became a minhag to kiss the mezuzah. It's not an obligation, it's an idea of reminding you of Yirah Shamayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a nice thing, it's not an obligation to do. It's not an obligation to do, but it is something that's meritorious, because it'll keep you in mind of the mezuzah. we say that since mezuzah is a shmira, so this somebody mentioned before, that when you're moving out of a house or an apartment, you can't just take your mezuzahs with you, because then you're considered that you're being mazik, you're being taking away the shmira from the new person who's moving in. However, and that's brought down here in number 18, that Hasocher Bais Mechavero, in number third line, Hasocher Bais Meover Chacham Shchacho Nochu V'Yotzeh. The nearly the Mekom Mokom Mokom Dikil Amechash Meshub Eva. Yeah. So the halacha is that that you're supposed to leave the mezuzah there, but that's only if the person is willing to pay you for it. It's not a gift. In other words, you have to offer that if he says he doesn't want to have the tircha, the trouble of going to a store and buying mezuzahs, and he just wants the house with the mezuzahs, so then you're mechuyev to leave him the mezuzahs, but you can charge for the mezuzahs. If it's a guy you sell it to, take the mezuzahs with you. Right. So the guy... A guy. We don't leave mezuzahs for a guy. We only leave mezuzahs for a Jew, and only if the person is willing to pay for them. If he's not willing to pay for them, then you can take the mezuzahs. But you have to offer. You have to offer that he should be able to buy the mezuzahs from you. And if he says no, it's okay, I have my own mezuzahs. And you know, and if you have expensive, nice cases that you got, you don't have to leave the cases. You just leave the parchments. You don't have to leave mezuzah has to be put up permanently with, you know, it's, when you put up a mezuzah, it's another halacha. You can't just, has to be put up, you know, in a, either with nails or something that's very strong adhesive. But theoretically, you could, if you say you want the cases, so you could take off the cases and then just keep the mezuzahs up there with some strong tape until he'll have to buy his own cases. The cases are not part of the deal. The cases, you don't even have to offer him the cases. If you want to offer, you make a deal with the cases. You can make a deal with the cases. But the obligation is on the parchment. If you don't know who's moving in, you should find out. But if you feel that there's no way you're going to find out, then you're gonna, in other words, you don't have to lose out on this deal. In other words, it's a proper gesture that you do, but it's not meant to come at a financial loss from the person who's leaving. So it's something you should offer, etc. So the Rambam concludes in number 20 that Chayev Adam Lizar be Mezuzah b'nei Sheikovas Hakol Tomid Kozman Sheikanes v'yetsev v'yifka b'yichud Hashem. So it's a mezuzah is something that every time we leave and come into the house, we encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling the world, and he's protecting us, and that's when we say that there are malachim watching us. So that's this idea, that the mezuzah represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in front of us. In fact, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than a regular king. A regular king, he sits in the palace, and he has his men watch outside. But for us, Hashem lets us go inside the house, and He's watching us from outside, and that's the idea of a mezuzah. And there are many halachas of mezuzah. I try to give the basic halachas, but if you have any shailas, you could always look. Oh, checking. Okay, that's right. 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 Checking is on. We have checking here. 17, I'm sorry. That's right, we missed it. Checking is very important. So checking, there is a halacha of checking the mezuzah twice in 7 years. But Rav Shechter mentioned from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that he was of the opinion that b'zman hazeh, that the mezuzahs are inside the house. In other words, we have heat control, hopefully, during the winter. And so we're not afraid that the mezuzahs inside your house are going to get in contact with the elements and can be destroyed. So then maybe Bizman Hazeh, that obligation doesn't apply, because the real obligation applied when there was, you know, in the winter, there was no real heat, so the house was freezing cold, so the cold could affect the mezuzahs. Or in the summer, it was so hot, so the heat could affect the mezuzahs. But today, we don't have that problem. So the outdoor mezuzahs, those are the ones that really have the obligation, as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach pointed out, to have them checked. But on the other hand, yes, but a lot of people could have bought mezuzahs from unreliable sources, and you never had a good mezuzah from day one. So if you have a suspicion of that, then you should make sure to have it checked at least once. But the technical obligation of checking it twice in 7 years, as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, Shechter pointed out, is only on the mezuzahs on the outdoor. So if you live in an apartment, so everything is indoors for you, then you wouldn't have that obligation. If what? Twice in 7 years when there's an obligation. And we're saying the obligation is only to the outdoor mezuzahs. But I'm saying that if you have a chashash that you might not have gotten the mezuzah from a good source, then you should get them checked once. Once to make sure. And then once you know for sure from a reliable source, then you keep it there forever. What? Okay, but that's not going to be, that's going to be a much longer time. You use your, seichel of when. The idea, because the Gemara says that the mezuzah is the Rishonim say that a mezuzah is a shmirah. It's more than other mitzvahs. It's a type of shmirah. So that's how this idea that if something goes wrong, people check. It's not necessarily a superstition. I think some people overdo it. Everything that happened wrong, check the mezuzahs. I think maybe sometimes, but. There is a notion that somebody broke into the house or there was something, a breach of your shmirah, then could be reason to say that one could check the mezuzahs. But the technical obligation is twice in 7 years for the outdoor mezuzahs. One bracha. You make one bracha. If you're putting up several mezuzahs at the same time, you make one bracha. And again, it's a challenge to find that room that gets the bracha. Because it has to be a room with a door, and it has to be at least 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches. So you make a bracha on that one, and then you don't speak unless it's having to do with the putting up of the mezuzahs, and then you put up the others, and then you don't have to make another bracha. But if you're going to put up another mezuzah the next day, or you're not going to put them up all at once, then you would have to, a significant time lapse from where you're putting up that mezuzah and the next mezuzah. So then if the second mezuzah is an area that's requiring a bracha, then you would make a bracha on that as well. Meaning if it's going to be, say, an hour later or something like that. But the best way to do it is to have all your mezuzahs that you want to put up all at once and make one bracha for everything. But if sometimes you're missing a mezuzah, but you should try always to put the mezuzahs up on the doorways that are really obligated in the mezuzah first and leave the other ones, as we said, the ones that have the doors, the ones that are 7 feet and 3 inches, those have a more stronger obligation than the others. Kissing mezuzah is based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that they used to touch the mezuzah going out. So it's a proper thing. It's not an obligation. It's not the real part of the mitzvah, but it's definitely something that's a meritorious thing. That the idea is to think of what it represents when you're doing, not just to do it and to think what it represents of God watching over us, etc. Mekvoa mezuzah. Shekel l'shono mezuzah of tzivano mekvoa mezuzah. Mekvoa. Yeah. Right, right. It's connected, right. The Gemara learns out halachas from that, from the Makas Bechoros to that. So, very good. Okay.